Today is Equal Pay Day, marking the fact that women are often paid less than men for the same job. Take this case in 2013. Eileen Rizzo was working at the Fresno County Office of Education. She found out a male colleague with less education and experience was making more than she was. The reason? Her pay was based on her previous salary. Rizzo ultimately filed suit under the Equal Pay Act and California's sex discrimination statutes. That case is still making its way through the courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court. Reporter Laura Satsui asked Rizzo what this fight ultimately means to her.
At first, really it was just about justice and what I thought was being fair and equal. I have to admit that I wasn't necessarily informed or knowledgeable about the pay gap or what that meant to society or communities. But when that happened to me, it was just really devastating and a time that I had to reflect on how I was going to deal with it. Or all of these options started flooding my mind. And when I just decided to kind of confront it and went to HR, it was really with the idea that I wanted my family to have parity, and that the money I brought home to my family should be equal to the money a man brings home to his family.
And so this case has made its way through the justice system with all of its twists and turns that it could possibly have. Yeah. But where are things right now? It started in 2013, roughly, and we're 6 years later.
Yes. So it's been quite a long journey. And so the Fresno County Office of Education did end up appealing to the Supreme Court. And when it's appealed, your case sits in a bank of cases where the court has to decide whether or not to take the case. So it was relisted 5 times. So it had to be relisted quite a few times before they actually voted on the case. And what happened was there was a technicality in the decision. So when the case was decided, Judge Reinhart, who wrote the decision and voted on the case, passed away before it was filed.
And that was on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, right?
Yes, that's correct. And so because he passed away before it was filed, the Supreme Court has decided to send it back to the Ninth Circuit to be re-voted on and re-decided on, which is not anything that decides on the merit of the case, but just the technicality of what happened unexpectedly in his passing.
And I understand, though, at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, before that person passed away, they voted in your favor, right?
Yes.
And so at this point, I mean, are you expecting that to happen again, that you'll still win?
Yes. So we're very positive that we'll still get a positive ruling on our favor. It was a unanimous vote when it was there. So 11 justices agreed that prior salary can't be used to justify a wage disparity. So we're confident that will happen. I think what's discouraging is the amount of time that now this adds to this journey. And so sending it back to the courts probably adds roughly a year or 2 years before it could be again appealed to the Supreme Court and then wait for their decision on the merits of the case.
And not only have you been the face and figure in sort of your lawsuit and fighting for equal pay, but you also ran for office last year in 2018 against Republican incumbent Jim Patterson for state assembly. Jim Patterson kept his seat, but I'm really curious. I mean, did you see running for office as a part of your broader campaign and fight for equal pay as well?
Well, they were definitely connected because it was my advocacy work around making the economic security of women stronger in our state that I was working on bills that would do those things. And my desire was that I would be able to do whatever I can so that no woman would have to ever walk in my shoes. It was that work that made me aware of our current representation in his voting record with bills like this and all the bills surrounding not only equal pay for equal work, but sexual harassment and childcare, things, lactation accommodations, things like that, where I was discouraged on his voting record. So my desire was really to give constituents the opportunity to have a choice.
So while you didn't win that seat, but you, like you mentioned, had been doing advocacy for legislation that, increases gender parity in the workplace in a number of ways. Can you talk about some of the other wins that you have had regarding equal pay here in the state of California?
So, yes. Yeah, so I think the first greatest victory we had was in 2015, and the California Fair Pay Act was signed. And that allowed workers to talk about their pay, for discrepancies to be based on business reasons and nothing else. And it really just closed a lot of the loopholes that even the Equal Pay Act that secures a whole nation under that law, but really tried to close the loopholes. It defined what equal work meant. So equal work is substantially similar work, whether or not you have the same title or you're at the same location. So that was a great asset to the tools that women need, and hopefully that employers are held accountable so that women don't have to file lawsuits, because a lot of women don't have that choice. You know, it takes a lot of money to fight a case like this. And when you think about 40% of households depend on a working woman's paycheck, that paycheck doesn't have room for attorney retainer fees. So that was one of the great victories that we had. And then a few legislation sessions ago, we also had the opportunity to finally pass a bill that kept employers from asking for your prior salary. So you can offer the information if you think it's in your favor, but it can't be asked on an application or in an interview. And we really feel that the pay gap is being perpetuated by that question and the use of prior salary. We can close that gap purposefully by targeting that very question. And so that was one of the successes that we had in our state to protect.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Why is it that asking for prior salary might put women at a disadvantage?
So when the Equal Pay Act was created in 1963, women were being paid less for doing the same job. The intent was that the law would now protect women, but there's that clause in there that says any other factor. And any other factor has been exploited to be any other reason you could find to pay a woman less than a man. And so if a woman is discriminated any time before she goes seeks a new employer, when they ask for the previous salary, then we know that that is going to be perpetuated no matter what happens later on to her, that she carries that burden of that low wage.
So being that typically women, you know, are offered a lower salary than men, and
yes,
don't necessarily bargain or you know, ask for more and ultimately
Absolutely.
Just receive a lower salary,
yeah,
perhaps.
And the American Association of University of Women have done a lot of reports that and research around the idea that when women have the same degree and then go out into the workforce, they're more likely to get less pay than their male counterparts are already outset from their college degree.
And so you still work in education. In a practical sense, how do you talk to women about equal pay? Do you have any practical advice for encouraging them to seek that and ultimately get it?
Yes. So I think one of the powers that we have is just to know our rights, to be knowledgeable about the protections that we have. You know, the California Fair Pay Act brought more protections and tools to women, but unless we enforce those and know about them, we kind of think that we're still barred from talking about our salary, or we're scared to do certain things. So if you know your rights, you're able to stand a little firmer on solid ground. If you think someone's being paid more than you, and there's no reason like education, experience, merit, seniority to justify that, you now have the right to go ask that person, you know, how much are you getting paid? You have the right to go to HR and ask them to investigate your question. And whether or not it turns out to be true, you can have no retaliation against you. So even just lifting a veil and making things more transparent really allows a woman to like stand her ground. I also tell women to know their worth. So when you go in for a job, know how much that job is being paid in that area and with the experience that you have, and never short sell yourself. Always stand firm with that. I think that we leave a lot of money on the table, but what we have to do is really stand firm. We have to make that the norm. Until that's the norm, then people won't know how to react. I think sometimes women are retaliated against if we're too pushy or too strong or, you know, whatever other characteristics they like to put on that. But we need to make that the new norm, that that's okay for a woman to do. We are providing for our families. We're providing for our futures, our retirement. That's worth equal to a man. So we need to make sure that we know that.
And so we've already sort of mentioned that this lawsuit is still working its way through things. And so that's what you're also still working on, as, mm-hmm, and along with being in education. But are you considering maybe running for office again? I mean, what might be next for you?
So I'm still keeping that definitely an open door. I really learned a lot. And I think that the most important thing that I learned is how constituents want to be listened to. Their voices need to be heard. And too often, lobbyists and companies and big organizations are the loudest voices in the room of our representation. That really shouldn't happen, and that's really discouraging for me. And so I'm really keeping my options open. Right now I'm working on a PhD in STEM education. I'm due to finish that in 2021. So I'm not sure exactly where I'll be in 2020, but I'm really keeping my options open, and really want to continue to be civically engaged in ways that I can uplift my community.
Okay, we've been talking to Eileen Rizzo. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.